Testing 1, 2. Okay, we are ready to do the study. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.
The study,
yeah.
It's called, here it is. Very good.
Louise, looks like she's actually blowing the trumpet there. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chav HaMashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Shabbat Shalom. Well, let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this Sabbath. Heavenly Father, King of the universe, we come before you today asking you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, anything that displeases you, Father. We don't do anything willfully. Bless and anoint this Sabbath in Yeshua's name. Pray that you'll bless everyone here. I pray you'll touch everyone, heal everyone in Yeshua's name. Take away any afflictions or anything that we're not even aware of that's coming upon us. You see everything, Father. I pray you'll rebuke the devil away from us. Bless this day. Give us the shalom of the Lord. May God bless the study. And I thank God for the saving of our souls through the blood of Yeshua and the atonement that he supplied through his body that was crucified and the blood that he shed. And may God bless every one of you, and may God help you in every endeavor and everything you do. May God lead, guide, and direct you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, here we are. I think we're recording today. I believe we're streaming. And we're in Hole in Wall, Tennessee again. Last week we weren't because we got snowed out. But here we are. Today it's almost 60 degrees. It's 60 degrees. Try to figure that out. And it's beautiful outside. Sunny, beautiful. Our winter is like one day and it's over. Anyway, there's my email. I don't receive any emails from anyone. There's my website. I hope you're sneaking on it, whoever's listening.
And the video is working.
And today is January the 20th. This month is almost over. 2018. Where'd that go? And of course, the new month of God started, and I thank God for people sending their offerings. That's very nice. And there's what Janus means. Very unfortunate. It's a Roman, that shouldn't say Jehovah. It's a Roman Lord. Let's put a little Lord there of gates and doorways. And it has two faces, and it's ridiculous. Anyway. But just by looking at what they changed the days from 29 days, Julius had it at 31 days. So if you multiply that out by like centuries, who knows where we really are, you know? However, we acknowledge the calendar of God that never changes. No one tainted it or changed it. We're in the 11th month of God, the second day, Shvat. There it is. And in English, it's called Sebat for some reason. They forgot to put the H there. My ministry is a teaching ministry. I like to bring up subjects and topics that are interesting, and I hope that you have the capacity to absorb them, and may God's Holy Spirit bless you with this. And I'd like to underline some things for you. My server, I updated it last night. It's running well. You could read the studies. You could listen to the studies. You could watch the studies if we're recording. Today, I think we're recording. And there it is. And you can even download them to MP3 players. We're in the Powtalk room, our little chat room. And we're streaming at that URL right there. And that's put that in your real player. Well, I haven't received any invitations lately to talk about the Hebrew roots. I'm still waiting for, now that it's getting nice out again, maybe I'll get a phone call or two. I did get a few phone calls in the last few months, but people still didn't show up. Anyway, today's topic is part two, the soul of mankind. Last week I did the heart of mankind. Today is the soul of mankind. Now, when you look up the word soul in the Bible, if you have a search kind of program, it comes up, the word soul comes up 416 times in Tanakh, and that's the word nefesh. And I looked it up in some concordances, and this is what it says. Properly, a breathing creature, a person, or even the spiritual inner being. So it has multi meanings. And then it's used wildly in a literal, accommodated or figuratively sense, bodily or mental, any appetite. It could be beast, bodily, breath. I mean, you can read all these words. And if when you see all these words here, you might think, well, how could that be? Mind, desire, pleasure. And it's a man himself or person or an individual. So far, you know, you could try to grasp what a soul is. We're living souls at this moment. Now, for the people that... Here's a list of words, nephesh, wildly used with all its variants. And there's a lot of variants, and I didn't get to the root of many words, but the word nephesh is, this. First of all, shows up 749 times. Now, for the people that are interested in looking up these verses, I'm just going to read the words, and I'll show you how many times. But I'm going to go through it fast so you don't get delirious, okay? Okay, first we have the word soul, which is 416 times. And see all the times there? I wrote them all down for you. Okay? That same word nephesh means life 100 times. It means souls 58 times. It means lives 18 times. It means persons or person 16 times and 14 times. It even means heart in some verses. And you can look those up yourself. I was looking it up in the Hebrew, too. It's very, you know, all the different variants with the conjugations on them. And you can see it means heart, it means mind, it means himself, it means body, it even means creature. It even means a dead person. It means yourselves. It means a desire. It means man, minds, pleasure. It means will. It means any, beast, themselves, appetite, even a ghost. In Job, you can look that up. Hearts, lust, thing, angry, breath, deadly, discontented, fish, and even fish I looked up, greedy, hearts, hearty, himself, men, mortality, myself, one own, slay, slayeth, souls, tablets, thyself, wood. And you might think, how could that be? But if you go look up every one of these verses, you'll see the same word. And if you look in the Hebrew, you'll see the same word in different conjugations. And that's just the way a Hebrew word is. It has multiple meanings, especially if you go, you know, this word, I'm sure it's not the root, nephesh. I think it's nephesh might be the root. But you can look that up. Anyway, just having said all that, today's study, I want to make sure you understand, I'm only using it in the sense of the word soul. I'm not using it with all those other meanings, okay? But I want to let you know that that same word in the Hebrew has a gazillion meanings, okay? First instance is Genesis 2. See, that wasn't too hurtful, was it? 2:7. Jehovah, the Lord Jehovah, that should say, we'll have to fix that. Formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And here we are, a living soul. And that's us today. So that's the first instance of the word soul. Genesis 12:5 says, and Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. So the word souls here is used for actual living beings. That's another term. They could have said the other persons or the other people, but they said the other souls. So I was noticing a soul can be cut off from his people, which is really bad, if you break Jehovah's covenant. In Genesis, we see Rachel died, and her soul was in departing, for she died. Her soul died, that she called his name Benoni, and her father called him Benjamin. But anyway, this the point here is she died, and her soul departed from her. So the soul is not only you in the physical sense, it's you in the spiritual sense, you know. It's pretty interesting. Genesis 34:3, and this term is interesting, the way it says, his soul clave to Dinah, Remember that person that wanted to get married to her? The daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel, and spake kindly unto the damsel. And Hamor communed with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. I pray, give her him to wife. So the word soul can be used in many different contexts, the way it's used. You can have anguish of soul. Souls can be numbered too, I was noticing. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33 souls. Another verse says 16 souls. Souls were 14. All the souls were 7. All the souls were 62 souls. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. That's 62 souls, right?
66.
Right. Souls can be cut off from Israel. So right now in our congregation here, there's only 4 souls.
Physically present.
And there's other souls out there wandering around that are lost, right? Exodus 30:12 says, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Jehovah when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them." So a ransom for your soul you can have. So the soul is a very important thing. "The rich shall not give more than the poor, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel." Then it says, when they give an offering unto Jehovah to make an atonement for your soul. So we have to make an atonement for our soul too. Because I have a funny feeling wherever your soul is, that's going to be scary. That's your inner soul, that is. Because your body is going to go to the dust and later on get an incorruptible body somehow. "And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be for memorial unto the children of Israel before Jehovah to make an atonement for your souls." So that's in many places. So I see the word souls, even though we're not using all the other words I showed you, nefesh, you know, can be used for. The word soul has different, so far we see it's an outer person and the inner person, right? So if you see if it's anything else, let me know. Exodus 31:14, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it's holy unto you. Every one that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." So, we see that is in the physical sense and also spiritual too. Leviticus 5 says, if a soul sin, so it's not only you, but it's your soul. It seems like you and your soul are working in harmony. And if your soul sin, but you hear the voice of swearing, and that's an oath, and is a witness whether he had seen or known of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. You have to make it known. But you see how the soul sin, that's your inside, because your body can't, your body could sin, but your soul, but then we go right to the physical, hearing, right? If a soul touch any unclean thing, now that's the physical, right? If a soul, which is the inner you, which I guess reflects on the outer you, that's what it sounds like. If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or a carcass of an unclean creeping thing, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. And that's obviously you and your soul. So you and your soul inside are one. It says, or if he touch an uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, he shall be, and he know of it, he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, so it's not only you, but your soul inside of you, which is evil, swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, it shall be hid from him. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty of one of these. Right. So there it is again, using multitasking. And it shall be when his soul be guilty in one of these things, then he shall confess that he had sinned in that thing. That's pretty interesting. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Jehovah for his sin, which he had sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass which he had committed two turtle doves or two young pigeons unto Jehovah, one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, and who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off from his head from his neck, and he shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It shall be a sin offering. I probably went too long here with this, but anyway. It says, and he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin, which he had sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he's not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour. There's that ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense on it, for it's a sin offering. Then shall he bring it unto the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offering made by fire unto Jehovah for a sin offering. So God made preparations for every level, if you're wealthy, or if you have, whatever you can do. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as touching his sin that he had committed. He sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass, now here's a whole thing about a soul, which is a person, and the inner person must have allowed it, because it's you, it's all you. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance, if in the holy things of Yehovah, then he shall bring for his trespass unto Yehovah a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. So the soul, and he shall make amends for the harm that he had done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. This is all if you do it ignorantly. Now, if a soul sin, basically in any of the things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of Yehovah, though he wist it not, yet you're still guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He had certainly trespassed against Jehovah. So even in ignorance, your soul and you in unison have to do this. Here's Leviticus 16:29. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, we know what that is, right? Day of Atonement, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, rather be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns among you. So, again, yes, we have to really examine and scrutinize ourselves and really be weary, I guess, that makes sure we not have no sin. For on that day the priest shall make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean before your from all your sins before Jehovah. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. Leviticus 17. Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns among you, that eats any manner of blood, I'll even set my face against that soul. And now, when I did this study, I got this dual meaning now. It's not only against you, but it's against the inner you too, your soul. I will set my face against that soul that eats blood and cut him off from among his people. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. So it's the blood makes an atonement for our souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. And we want to make sure our soul ends up in the right place. It's almost like there's two of us, you know.
Yeah.
The physical and the spiritual, you know. And the other one is over there, the soul. Huh. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you, that eats blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourns among you eat blood. Pretty amazing. Every soul that eats that which dies of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean unto the even, then shall he be clean. Leviticus 20, verse 6 says, the soul that toucheth after the soul that turn it after such as have familiar spirits. So you got to watch out what your soul wants to do, and you. Soul almost reminds me, of the mind, or of you inside, or of your thoughts. The soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Wow. It is serious. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from among you as unclean. So your soul can be made abominable. And you know, if that happens, you lose. Ezekiel has a whole interesting thing here. That God says, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father and the soul of the Son is mine. However, the soul that sins, it's going to die eternally. Yes. The soul that sins, it shall die. But what's really comforting, the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. So God sees what you do and judges righteously, you know. And that soul will get their judgment. You know, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he had committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, and he shall surely live, he shall not die. Isn't that nice? Listen to this. All his transgressions that he had committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he had done, he shall live. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
And God always says this. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord Yehovah, and not that he shall return and from his ways and live? So, that's good. So all we have to do is repent and make sure we're clean before God. I ask God to forgive me every day. Hope you do too. But here's what a lot of people don't like, and eternal security is out the window here. But if the righteous, and most of those people that believe in eternal security are not righteous anyway, because they don't keep the commandments. But let's talk about if you are righteous, and you turn away from your righteousness, and you commit iniquity, and you do according to all that the abominations that the wicked man does, Shall you live?
No.
Never. All, this is the scary part. Just think of this. All your righteousness that you had done, all of your righteousness shall not even be mentioned. In his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin that he had sinned, in them shall he die. Whoa, no eternal security. What do you think of that? Yet Israel said, Jehovah's way is not equal. Oh, I think it's very equal and fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal and your ways unequal? When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them for his iniquity he had done, shall he die? Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he had committed and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. And that's what we want to do. We want to save our souls. Because he consider it, and he turns away from his transgression, turns away from all his transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Isn't that nice? Just to know that, you know, there's repentance and there's always forgiveness with God, because God has no delight. But the house of Israel, they always say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal and not your ways unequal? God says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord Yehovah. Repent. Yeah. And turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Just remember, God has no pleasure in the death of him that dies, saith the Lord Yehovah. Wherefore, he says all the time, turn yourselves and live. Repent. So even the people from the past that have done wickedly, they could repent. And I invite them to come back and join us. Yes. Now, that was just a touch of all the instances in the Tanakh about the word soul. Here are some instances in the Gospels and letters, also wildly used. Observe, I'm only using this Greek word as soul here. And there it is right there. I don't know how to say it. How do you say that? How do you say that? Anyway, there are many variants of this word off the root, too, also in the Greek, okay? But I'm saying, if you want to look this up in concordances and stuff, this is the word that popped up. And it's P-S-U-C-H-E. I don't know how to say that in Greek. Okay, anyway. Now, we're talking about the word soul and using this certain word, because there's other words for that, too. So I see it's 39 times there. I see it means life 36 times, the same word with different variants. The word souls, 19. Lives, 5, minds. It even means doubt. It must be doubtful minds. Heart. That's why I think it's like a heart, too. Yeah. And heartily, and it means your mind. So that's what I was getting when I was reading in the Tanakh. I was thinking the inner soul has something to do with your mind, and it's connected to your heart that we did the study last week. And it's definitely your lives that you live. And it's just so many things. We see Yeshua says, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Wow. Just think, later on you get an incorruptible body, which will end up in hell, and your spirit will be in hell, your soul. That's a bad way to be. Matthew 16, for what is a man profited, or a woman, if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? That's one example. The second one is, what would you give in exchange for your soul? I can't think of anything, really. I can't think of anything. That is a scary verse. Some people trade their souls for almost nothing. You know, a shot of heroin or who knows, sneaking a peek at pornography or, I don't know, adultery or an affair or, I don't know, imagining things. Some people imagine things. Vain imaginations people have. Anyway, Matthew 22, Yeshua said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So the heart, soul, and mind, they all go together. I don't know if there's a song about that. Heart, soul, and mind. Yeshua told him, my soul, Yeshua had a soul too when he was alive. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He told them to tarry and watch with me. In the Gospel of Mark, we read, again, I like reading this because it's so important. I like when they two people wrote down the same story. For what shall it profit a person if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? Think about the guy from Apple who's a billionaire. He's gone. Think about the guy who owns Amazon right now. If he doesn't give his heart to the Lord and repent and seek God, his 109 billion means nothing. It means zero. Seriously, in the scheme of things, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's see. I'll take. What would you take?
Nothing.
Yeah. Don't take fame or fortune, or don't be exalted. You know. Supposed to love Yehovah thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and your strength. That's the first commandment. And to love him with all your heart, and with all your understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Did you know that? So, we see that these words are interchangeable. The heart, the soul, you know. Luke says, Mary, in the Gospel of Luke, Mary says, my soul doth magnify Yehovah. Luke 2 says, yes, this is Simon was talking to Mary, Mary, and he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. You could read that. Luke 12 says, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, soul. Eat, drink, and be merry. You could talk to yourself. But Jehovah said unto him, you fool. Guess what? This night your soul is required. So this thing, God's talking to you, but it's your inner soul is required. And whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's going to get all your stuff in plain English? Like it mattered. It doesn't even matter. Remember, in your patience, possess you your souls. Amen. Don't be hasty. Be patient. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. In Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the history, a little short history there, it says, because thou will not, this is a prophecy of Messiah that's written in Psalms, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This is talking about the resurrection, if you understand that, in the Psalms. He, seeing this before, David, spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, even that he didn't even come or die yet. David was saying that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. See, our flesh sees corruption, it goes to the dust, but our soul goes back to God. Soul is our spirit. Have to do a study on the spirit, maybe. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. I wish we could even get 3 souls. They got 3,000. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, by the Lord. Amen. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. It's the way we are here. Neither said any of them that they had that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Very unusual situation there. But remember, Peter had his own house because he was married. So it's not like they just, dropped everything and became hippies. That doesn't mean that, okay? A lot of people, the hippies, a long time ago, misinterpreted that. I see that even in the Gospels and letter, in the Koine Greek, that it was used in numbering. See, in Acts 7, it says, "Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls." So people count people as souls too. Acts 27:37, "And we were in all in the ship 216 souls." That's a term I guess they just used a lot. Well, they put it in the English a lot. Peter tells us that the people, some wicked people from the past, were sometime disobedient, time of Noah, when once the long-suffering of the Lord waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was preparing, wherein that was, just think, only 8 souls were saved. 8 people. All the other souls would not only died, but they all ended up in hell. They're in that holding place. Your soul was in the holding place. Ugh. Acts 14, it says, Paul was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And just remember that we, through much tribulation, shall enter into the kingdom of the Lord. Amen. So don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that may try you. Then we have a verse here that in Paul tells the Romans, he says, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil." And that's to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And Paul says, "Let every soul, every person, and your inner soul too, be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of Jehovah." The powers that be are ordained of Jehovah. Amen. I'm almost finished. Paul tells the Corinthians, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And that's what we'll be. We'll be a quickening spirit one day. Our soul and will be soul and spirit, I guess. Wow, whatever that means. We'll be incorruptible body too. 1 Thessalonians says, Paul tells them, "The very Yehovah of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, Yehovah, your whole spirit and soul and body," see there's three, "be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah." So we have the spirit, the soul, and the body. Wow. Hebrews tells us that the word of Yehovah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Very eloquently spoken there, Apostle Saul. Yeah, just think, God knows every one of us. God knows everyone out there too. Wow. Hebrews 10 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Whoa. "But we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Amen. Hebrews 13 tells us, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you." Brother James tells us, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Amen. So our little body needs to take us to places that help us save our soul. Yeah. Let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way, you'll save a soul from eternal death, and you'll hide a multitude of sins. Amen. And we hope one day we do receive the goal of our faith. It's the salvation of our souls, as Peter spoken. And seeing you have purified your souls, how do you do that? By the word, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. You got to be born again, you know. Peter says, dearly beloved, beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. So you have to almost protect your soul, you know, guard your soul. Don't go to the wrong places. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Amen. So it's real. I'm getting a whole new thought of what soul means doing this study. Hope you're getting it too. Peter says, let them therefore that suffer according to the will of Jehovah commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Amen, we do. Peter says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, Lot, in seeing and hearing, vexes righteous soul. People could vex your soul. From day to day with their unlawful deeds. Some people have eyes full of adultery. That's all they do is lust after people. And they think, oh, that person's looking at me, or I'm looking at them. And this, all they're in the crazy imaginations. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls. A heart they exercise with covetous practices. And they are cursed children, yeah. John tells us, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Yeah, that's really important. And one last couple, two more verses. And when he had, this is the book of Revelation, John says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of Yehovah, and for the testimony which they held. Oh, they were slain. Second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Whoa. And that could be fish, too. That's what I was telling you earlier. Revelation 20 says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Jehovah, and which had not worshipped, don't worship the beast, neither his image. We didn't receive the mark upon their foreheads or in their right hands or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years somewhere. So in closing, I hope you got something out of this study. Hope you got a new meaning of the word soul. And you. Here is just a small list of the Hebrew and Greek word used for soul. That's all I did, remember. As you can see, these Hebrew and Greek words can be used in many ways. And as Yeshua put it, he said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I hope you got something out of this study.
Yeah.
And maybe we should go over the heart study next week, or go over that and soul, and maybe we'll do a spirit one too. So may God forgive us all, and may God lead and guide and direct us into truth. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you for being here, and I hope you got something out of this study. I'll just shut off the audio. Shabbat shalom, everyone. And I'll shut off the audio.